Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, ladies. Hello, audience. This is Pastor Teresa. I'm your host, and we have a very exciting show on tonight. We believe that the topic on tonight is going to bless and help many teen and young ladies on tonight. I pray that your weekend went well, and today is a national holiday, so I'm pretty sure that you're going to get yourself your bellies filled up with a lot of food and barbecue and all that good stuff there. Been under the weather, so I'm kind of going a little slow. But tonight, I really should believe that we got some awesome information that we want to share. I have a special guest going to be with me today. Her name is Jadea Forche. And we're going to go in and pray, and then we're going to go in. I'm going to allow her to introduce herself, and we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your anointing to destroy us the yoke. We actually are going to come into this segment, God, as we minister to your young ladies, your teen girls, God, that they can take the tools that's going to be given today and apply it to their life, God. We ask you right now, as we understanding protecting our gateways is very important so that we can grow and mature in the things of God. We bless your holy name on what's going to be said today, what's going to be given out today, and bless every hearer that's on the show, that's on the line, from Facebook to Twitter and to this calling in. We ask you right now just to have your divine way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, ladies, we are talking about protecting your gateways. And as you all know, if you experience Share Talk is to help and to minister to young women all of all ages. But today is young ladies and teen girls Mondays. Every fourth Monday, we have this for the teens and young ladies. And today we have Jadea Forche. Jadea, can you say hello to everyone?
Hi, everybody.
And this is Jadea. And Jadea, I want you to go in and talking about you are 17 years old, and you are very young, but you are very mature on the things of God when it comes to the spiritual battlefield. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I was raised in the church since I was in my mom's womb, so this has always been my background. But from the time I was in my mom's womb, she prayed for me to be a powerful woman of God. And now the things that she's prayed are now coming forth, and now I'm starting to minister to the young girls of God and to help teens my age, let them know that it's okay to be safe as a teenager.
Amen. And it is okay to be saved. And so we're talking, Jadea has actually wrote an article in Inspire Magazine, and the title was Protecting Your Gateways. That was her assignment. Not only the assignment I gave her, but this is something that she flows with. I mean, she's very educated in it. She's very knowledgeable, and she let God speak to her heart to minister about protecting the gateways. And as she stated that, from her mother's womb, she was trained, she was taught, she was ministered to be a saved young lady. So, and then when she got to the age, she got saved, and here you go. And then, but at the same time, her mother and her father developed her in a way in the things of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that. I want to go ahead of myself. But we're going to be talking about Jadea's article. Again, her article was entitled Protecting Your Gateways. And as she said, she's 17 years old. She's from Jacksonville. And from her mother's womb, she has been ministered to about the things of God. One of the things that she said in her article, I want to read this part. She says, in the third grade, I began to see things differently in the worldly and spiritually things. While other kids were singing Beyonce, I was singing Mary Mary. Explain that, Jadea.
Like, in school, I didn't really talk to people, but once I had moved to a new school, and when I was in third grade, I was very sheltered as a kid, and all my friends were Christian goers, so we all sang the same songs. So to be around people who were singing Beyonce, and they'd be like, you know Beyonce, did this song? I'm like, who is Beyonce? All I know is Mary Mary. Like, those are my favorite artists. So it was weird to see or to know kids that wasn't brought up the same way as me or listen to the same stuff as me.
Did it call in a conflict as you was in school? Did you feel like you was different? Did you feel like you was kind of weird or things like that? Because I noticed sometimes when I talk to children that are teenagers or young ladies that parents have sheltered them in some kind of form to keep them not being so rounded when it comes to worldly things, they felt like they was different. How did you feel?
I felt like an outsider. But my mom always let us know that we would be different. We were called out of Children of God, so we wasn't going to fit in with everybody. So as a young age, I was content with not having a lot of friends. But sometimes, as a kid, it does get lonely when you don't have really anybody to talk to.
Wow, that's interesting. That is very interesting. So you did have those lonely times, but because your mom explained the process, it made it better. Correct? Because
yes,
you got siblings. You have a brother and a sister. So all of you guys share into that same experience. Am I right about that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Another thing you said in your article, you said, I must admit, growing up being in the same home, something you just said, you thought every kid was raised the same way. Now, when you say the same way, I'm assuming that you're talking about the same Christian values. But you did notice, this is a question, you did notice other kids was saved, but yet they still was doing things worldly. How can you explain to the audience, the other young girls that's on, other young ladies, and the young ladies that's on the air, what's the difference when you talk about two Christian kids being saved, one is kind of restrained, what they do, and the other one's got more free spirit, they're able to do what they want to do?
Well, for me, it's like I will just listen to strictly gospel music. I will read my Bible. But other kids who I go to school with say they go to church too, but then they'd be right along with the other kids singing worldly music or doing the type of dances that the other kids would be doing. And I'm like, that's weird to me because I never get that or experience that. So I'm like, They're saved, too. It was confusing to me.
So when it was confusing to you, did it ever make you question, was you wrong or are they wrong?
Yes, no, it made me question, and I would go home and ask my mom about it, and she was like, they may be in the church, but that doesn't mean that they're living their life for God. It's some kids who go to church because their parents made them, so they don't really go to learn things about God, but when we went to learn things of God and to learn more about Him.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting, Jadea. You know, you are very special, young lady. You know, I always say that you're very special, and it's awesome to hear there are young women, there are young men out there that parents truly raised them, and I'm not saying it's totally wrong for parents, and I want you to, because I know I got some parents, and we got a lot of calls on the line. I'm seeing it jumping in, and I know there is a lot of, this is a very taboo question. This is a very taboo subject where people really feel, well, if you don't allow your kids to experience, they got to make their mistakes. They got to, they got to learn from this kind of stuff. Jadea, as a young lady, when people make that statement that you hear, I don't know if you heard, I'm pretty sure you have, when you hear other teens say, well, you know, I'm saved and I love the Lord, but I believe in having fun and my mom don't restrict me from doing this and another, why do you see that as a conflict when you have two different views of how Christian kids should be raised?
I think it's a conflict from a child's perspective, it's like you're telling us to go to church and live for God, but once we get home, it's okay, you can do whatever you're going to do because you're going to do it anyways. I feel like as a parent, even if your kid might do it, you shouldn't be acceptable of them doing it. You should, like my mom, she knew that we're not perfect kids, so we're going to get in trouble every now and then, but she didn't just, allow us just to get in trouble just because she knew we were. She let us know that that was wrong, and she still loved us, but we have to do better.
That's good. That's good.
Because we needed
and
to
so,
be.
Go ahead, baby.
Because we wanted God to be pleased with everything that we do. And I used to laugh about this because sometimes I would act out because I didn't have anybody to talk to in school. And my mom would always tell me, God watches everything you do. He sees all, even when I'm not around. And when we'd get home and she'd know I got in trouble, and she'd ask me what happened that day, and I'd be like, nothing. And then she would tell me plainly what happened. And I'd be like, how you know? And she'd say, God told her. And I would be so scared. I'm like, oh, my God, like, it is a God watching me and knows everything I'm doing, even when my mom isn't around.
Truly, truly. So, question, this is just a question. So, do you teenagers, even though they have a mom or a dad that really guards them and shelters them and have a relationship with God, do you think teenagers that do live that type of sacred life, do you feel like their relationship with God is based on fear, or do you think it's based on they really have a relationship with God, such as yourself?
I think it's based on I have to have a relationship because my parents make me have a relationship
mm-hmm.
with them. I feel like
and then you,
it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what my mom and my dad, they took the time out to explain to us, and I feel like instead of parents judging their kids for making mistakes, you should just take the time out to really talk to them and help them understand right from wrong.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So that brings us to our point with our discussion. I really wanted to give them some background so the audience can hear your coming up, how you was raised, how you was brought up by your parents. Because teenagers and parents, I know I got some parents on the line, if you listen to what Jadea said, a lot of her ways came from the upbringing that her parents installed in her. She just wasn't born like this. I mean, she literally had parents that guide her and her sister and her brother along the way. How did this go? Now, some of you may say, you know, I still think that's just rigid. I really think that's just too much. But when we get into discussion about protecting your gateways, you will hear a little bit more clear why it's important that as parents that we are very protective and very not keeping our kids so secluded, but understanding that the importance to protect our young people when it comes to their gateways. So we're going to be talking about, in your article, Jadea, you have spiritual have two gateways, which is three. You're going to be talking about just about two of them, and I'm going to talk about the third one. And you have your eyes and your ears. And you said the eyes and the ears to your mind, which is the major part of your body, Satan wants to taint it. So explain that when you say that. These are major parts of the body that the enemy wants to take control of. Explain that a little bit, sweetie.
Well, with your eyes and ears, I say they're the gateways to your mind because you notice when you see something, the image keeps playing in your mind. When you hear something, then you keep repeating it in your mind. The devil knows that if he has your mind, then he can control you. So with your eyes and ears, you got to be very, very careful of what you look at and what you listen to, because if it's not of God, it's of the devil, then he can have your mind control you.
And then, but, you know, as a teenager, do teenagers even think about that? I mean, why do you think, even though we understand what your upbringing on, but you've been around other teenagers, not only even in school, but even in church, in ministry. You know what we teach is, you know, you are a member of our church, and one of the things that we talk about, the gateways, we are very strong and adamant on, you got to protect your gateways. You got to protect what you listen to and what you hear. Why do you think a lot of young people think this is taboo? Why do you think they think if this is not important? And, you know, they don't see the repercussion of it now and when they listen to it. Why do you think they just they're so numb to it?
I think because they probably never taken it serious. And I feel that they may be, yeah, you're right, they're numb to it. I can't really, it's weird. I don't know because I never really experienced it. So seeing it with other kids, it's shocking. So I can't really answer that.
Okay.
I can't answer that.
That's good. That's good, Jadea. That's really good. And the key thing is, ladies and gentlemen, I mean ladies that's on the line, the things about the gateways, just like Jadea stating, that your eyes and ears, the enemy wants it. Don't know how he can get in. You know, you have to willfully open yourself, young people, to the enemy to come in and take over your mind. And how he get in your mind is based on what you listen to and based on what you hear. And we're going to talk about the third one. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But the other part in your article, you said the mind is the strategy of the battlefield. Explain that, Jadea.
Like I stated earlier, your mind controls your body. It's the battlefield. God and the devil is fighting over your mind. God mm-hmm. knows if he has your mind and you keep your mind on him, then you will be able to make it into heaven. But the devil knows if he has your mind, then you will miss out on heaven and you will just do stuff. You will be self. You will just think about yourself. You will have pride. You won't be thinking about nothing of God. So it's a battlefield between the good and the evil.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes every day. It's like a consistent. And a lot of times, excuse me, a lot of times people think, well, why is it so? And whatever you put in you is going to come out of you. And that's the reason why mm-hmm. pornography and different things that we try to tell young people and even adults to stay away from, and those are the things that some people use as a pleasure and all those kind of stuff like that, not knowing that whatever you put in you, you cannot watch that for 2 years, and if all of a sudden that one thing that you watch with your eyes is going to replay, because once your eyes see something, it records it in your mind. And so when you said that your mind is the battlefield, you're absolutely right, because once it gets to your mind, once it gets to your mind and you start thinking about it, it gets to your heart. You start living it out. It's going to be very hard mm-hmm. for you to not do what you're thinking about once it gets to your heart. A lot of times people don't make decisions just because out of the blue. That is something based on something they've been thinking about for a minute. And so it's been built up, and all of a sudden it gets to your heart, and then next thing you know, you end up doing the very thing you've been thinking about for a year or so or 6 months. So, yes, you are absolutely correct. Your mind is the battlefield. My grandma used to say that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. And in other words, I used to think that was in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. It sounds Bible, but it's not in the Bible. Well, you did too. And so, but I used to hear that. I'm like, why did she used to say that? But I learned that over the years as I'm growing up in God, you know, I'm realizing that it is. When you have idle time, you're not doing anything constructive. You're not doing anything to replace what enemy thoughts or enemy things that he's putting you in. Your mind is just racing. Your mind is just thinking of these negative things. Your mind is just really battling, and God is trying to speak to you, and you hear that positive voice, but that negative voice overshadows the positive voice, because if you're listening to negative things and entertaining yourself with negative images and negative conversations, it's going to be very hard for you to come back the enemy with the enemy stuff. It's just ain't going to happen. So we're talking about protecting your gateway. And we don't talk about the battlefield of the mind. We don't talk about the a little bit the importance of or the understanding that the eyes and the ears is a gateway to your soul. And you have Philippians 4 and 8. This is what you have in your article, Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, any virtue, and there is any praise, think all these things. And so when you say, well, Pastor Teresa, what do you mean by that? Okay, the Bible is telling us you have to, this is the things we should be thinking about, but these are not the things that we're thinking about, because that's not what we put in our brain. We're putting other stuff in our brain. Now, we know we got to mm-hmm. go to work. We know we got to go to school. We know we got to be around other people. So, Jadea, for real quick, right before I get to our discussion questions, real quickly, talk about how do you protect yourself around your peers? You know, when you go to school, you're not off in a corner. You still got to be around other students. You got to be around other people, even teachers, even principals that may don't share the same views. How do you protect yourself around that? And then constantly you hear the negativity or the constant, the things that happens in school and things have been said. How do you protect yourself?
For me, like I know when I started building a relationship with God, and I know these days and times with these kids, they talk about any and everything. And I would ask God for me not to entertain the conversations to make it uncomfortable for me. So once people started talking about, like, sex, drugs, party, I would feel uncomfortable and I would remove myself from the situation because I don't want to be contaminated by those conversations, because in the Bible it says bad conversations corrupt good manners, and I don't want my manners to be corrupted. I want to be pleasing.
You better go ahead,
in the eyes of God.
You, baby, you off the chain. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you said that when you in school or when you around and you see, you hear these conversations going on, and you quote the scripture very well, evil communication corrupts good manner. You actually get yourself up, remove yourself from the scene, remove yourself from the environment, so therefore you would not be corrupted. Is that correct? Is that safe to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so, and even though the realness, I heard you say it earlier that, you know, the realness of that, that you're not a perfect kid. We know you're not. Nobody's perfect. And you have your own little things, too. And I don't know, have you ever felt the desire to want to do what everybody else do or listen to the things that other people listen to? Do you ever have that desire?
At one point in time when we had moved out of town, I backslid. I was listening to worldly music, and I think that's when God began to open my eyes of now I had experience what other kids my age went through. So God, I feel like God made me go through that so I can relate to other kids. Because, you know, if you say, I just been in church, I ain't experienced nothing, the kid's going to be like, okay, you didn't experience nothing that I experienced, so how can I listen to you if we haven't went through the same things?
Wow. Interesting. So you did you did go through a period of time of, you know, listen to worldly music. What type of music was you listening to?
Beyonce.
Beyonce, the one that you was talking about. Well, who is Beyonce? Everybody, all the kids asking you, well, who is Beyonce? You're like, I don't know. So you end up listening to some of the things Beyonce was singing and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about personally Beyonce, but it is a lot of young ladies, and this is where my heart goes out to a lot of young ladies. You know, I watch young ladies grow. Their parents try to do the best they could, and I do believe that we as parents, we could do a little bit better in our shaping and our molding with our children. I do believe that. I believe that we do take a lot of customs of the world and try to get their ideas and their views on how to raise our children when God really, you know, gave us the instructions on raising our children. It's just not popular. It's not popular. And I'm not saying kids that get, you know, trained in the world, they all corrupt. But what I would say, they struggle. It's a greater struggle when it's time for them to make that commitment with God. They can't make it. Why? Because they got all this other stuff they got to work against. And that's the one of the things that we try to explain to our children in our family. And they, you know, we did get some buck against, and they didn't want to do this, and they didn't want to do that. But we understood what we went through as a child and how much open we was and how much stuff that we was allowed to do or did not do. And it did something to us. And we are adults now. We are in our 40s. And the struggles that we have to fight against, you know, now it's time to work for the Lord. It's time to really do what God's called us to do. We still got to work out all these things that we grew up in, and the environments and what we saw and what we listened to and what we entangled into. It's work. And so what we did as parents, we tried to give our children, say, you don't want to do that. You do not want to, you know, consume yourself with all this stuff and thinking when you do get of age, you will understand how to just stop it. It doesn't work like that. It just don't work, because by that time, I say this all the time, it takes 21 days to learn a habit. And in those 21 days, and if you allow your child, you as a teenager, even if your parents is not making you or telling you, don't listen to this or don't do this, don't entertain yourself with that, at some point you got to have a accountability for yourself. You have a relationship with God. Most of the kids and teenagers on this call, you are saved. But what do saved look like to you? And I don't know what you have been shown. I don't know what you've been told. But when we're talking about the Bible really actually specifically says we should be separated from the world. We should not take on the custom of this world. And a lot of us are taking the custom of this world. And some of the things, the battlefield that you're having is because what you're entertaining yourself with. And then you're entertaining yourself with your friends. You want to be with your friends. So I don't want to get off on a tangent on that. I'm looking at your article, Jadea, and you said here, you have to understand the importance of your eyes and how they use as a gateway. For example, when you watch TV and other things that's natural to you, see, promotes lust, greed, violence, and pride. Explain that. I love the scripture that you use. Actually, the scripture, I'm going to let you go ahead and quote that. But the scripture that you use is the very one I use, which is Luke 11, 34 and 36, where it talks about the light of the body is the eye. So talk about that, you know, the TV shows and the things you listen to, how it promotes lust, greed, violence, and pride.
Most TVs today, like, for females, you know, they love to watch Real Housewives, Empire, Scandal, Bad Girls Club, Love & Hip Hop. Most of those shows have all of the seven deadly sins in them, which is lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, wrath, envy, and pride. And those are the things God wants us to stay away from. In Luke 11, 34 to 36, it says, the light of the body is the eye. And what I'm just paraphrasing it. If the eye is good, then the whole body is good. But if the eye is evil, then the whole body is of darkness. God, he even said that he'd rather us pluck that eye out then our whole body be of darkness. So we really mm-hmm. have to be careful of what we look at.
Absolutely,
it's
absolutely.
That serious.
And it's very that serious. And the sad thing about it, we don't take it serious. And I think a lot of times, and even adults are unfortunate because they live the life. This is what's entertained them. This is what makes them, you know, this is entertaining to me. But they don't realize it. You just said it, you said the magic words that these shows that you called out, and there was a lot of shows that you just called out, young lady. You know, they come to seven deadly sins, which is the pride of life and the greed and the lust and the violence and all this promoting lust. It provides that. And a lot of people say, I don't see the issue. You don't, because you enjoy watching it. You enjoy entertaining yourself with lust, you entertain yourself with pride, you entertain yourself with the violence and the pride. So you don't see nothing wrong with it. You don't you seeing people literally have sex on TV, and yeah, you may don't see the whole body functions, but the function itself, the action itself, the suggestion it makes, we're watching it and it's putting something in us that's you unaware. Well, they don't do nothing for me. Okay, so why are you like looking at it? So we become numb to this stuff. We become numb because we don't want to be responsible and accountable for what, and that's the reason why I think a lot of people don't want to, talk about this, especially pastors. And me and Pastor Larry, we're prone on this stuff. But we know even in our own circle, this is a taboo subject. This is a very taboo subject, and pastors do not want to deal with it because they know we have people in a congregation that literally this is the things that they listen to, these are the things they watch, and they like, okay, I don't want to ruffle the feathers. Well, we don't mind ruffling the feathers. We're up to the challenge because we want to make you better, not you think you're good and you're not good, and then you wonder why a lot of our teenagers, they're struggling because of the things they have been entertained with. So you quote the scripture, Luke 11, 34. You kind of paraphrase that the light is the doorway. Your eyes is the light of the doorway. So if you got light in your body, you ain't going to have no darkness. But when you look in that darkness through your gateways, your body become dark. In other words, what we're saying is that it's going to be hard for you to produce light if you're looking at dark stuff. Dark stuff is the very thing that we're talking about, and we're talking about the gateway. Now, we have our gateways. These are gateways. Our gateways are our eyes, what we see, what we view. What we view records what we see. It goes to our mind, and it's just like a program. It's just like a hard drive. So a hard drive keeps what you see. and it's there when anytime you want to push play. But the sad part is, just like a computer, a lot of times you have no control what pops on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And our brain does that. You know, I can testify when I was literally, you know, coming from the spirit of perversion, even when I was not in it no more, I wasn't doing it, I wasn't watching pornography, I wasn't doing these other things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, I'm in worship, I'm just going up to God, and then all of a sudden, a perverted thought or image would come to my mind, and I'm like, where did that come from? Oh, I know where that come from. That came from the hard drive of my mind. And the enemy pushed play. I didn't push play, but the enemy did. Why? Because he know was already there, because he was there when I was watching it or when I was doing it. So it's very important that young ladies that you understand is, I don't care what your friends tell you. I don't care who's doing what. You got to be very careful. You got to guard your life. You got to guard who you, because at the end, like the man of God said yesterday, Brother T. Green, he ministered yesterday. He did an awesome job. We all have a next in our life. We all have a next. But our next move is based on what we do and what we do and what we don't do. And we have to be very careful on that. So with that, Jadea, so we talked about the eyes, what we view. Now, the next vehicle that could be used is the gateways of our ears. Explain that. We talked about it a little bit, but I want you to go in more in depth about that, the gateways of our ears.
What you hear, mostly what you hear turns into what you think, and what you think turns into actions. I'm going to read a quote from my article. It says, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. This character can either build you up or destroy you. When we have to, like I said earlier, evil communication corrupts good men. You got to watch certain people you entertain, because sometimes the devil sends people in your life to get you off track with these gossiping, all that stuff. That's not of God. And also the music you listen to that contains lust, pride, gluttony, laziness, wrath, and envy. So you just got to be careful what people you talk to, what conversations you entertain, and what music you listen to.
Absolutely. And I don't you know, and I just really wish, and you know, and I know that this is just one vehicle that God is using to get through the airways and talk to young people and parents about this very thing. And I just be praying all the time, God, whatever God give me to creatively make, form, develop what I need to do to do that, because I truly believe, people used to call me all the time, I'm a trailblazer. I understand that a little bit now versus back then. I didn't understand it. I used to say, I hate when people say that because I didn't understand it. But now I understand what they're meaning, because I don't mind, me and my husband or certain ones like yourself in the ministry do not mind being the first person or the people that do it. You know, just because it's not done, that don't mean that it don't need to be done, because we do need more Christians. I truly believe if we get more Christians really stand on God's word, get more Christians to really, 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 really preach God's words and don't compromise, I truly believe that we will make a difference in the body of Christ. And then we will actually have a more impact on the world. I think the world is not impacted by the church, because the world looks at the church like as we just like them. We're doing the same thing they're doing. We're looking like them. It's like we take on the same custom. We get their tattoos. We get our ears all pierced up. We get our hairstyles just like them. You can't even look now these days. You really can't even tell a Christian from a non-Christian sometimes. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying it's just too much like us. Our dress is just short, just like theirs. It's tight, just like theirs. You know, everything is just so similar until it just looks the same. If we read the Bible, how Jesus, when he walked this earth with his disciple, when it was time for him to get crucified, and they all scattered, they ran. Peter was main one. Jesus told him that you're going to deny me three times. He swore up and down, oh, no, I would never do that. But when he got around, when it did happen, when he got around the fire, the people knew. He said, you sound like Jesus. You carry yourself like Jesus because he must be carrying himself like him. Even though he tried to deny he was not with Jesus, but they could not say that. They were like, no, you sound like him. In other words, is you should be able to sound like who you follow. And I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm talking about God. If you're following God, where you should sound like him. You should look like him. And the Bible talks about, as young women, we should dress modest, but we're not dressed. And I'm not talking about everybody, but there's too many of us, especially in the church. You know, we're not dressed modest because we're like, well, it's too hot. I'm not wearing it all on my shoulders. But you don't realize is when you come to church or dress a certain way, you're bringing attention to yourself. You got men out there that's very attracted to certain things, and so you're making it more visual for them to see. And now we got women attracted to women. So when we put ourselves out on the billboard of, hey, we got, no, you're not doing it. You're saying you're not doing it to be seen, but yet people are viewing you. And the Bible said, don't be a stumbling block for someone else. So if I'm wearing something or I'm doing something or I'm talking a certain way and it could be called a person to stumble, I should not do that. You know what I'm saying? So I just went on the left field on that one. Okay, I got you. But my point is that the body of Christ, parents and young ladies, and I know you're probably saying, this is just too much. I'm going to have a boring life. We're going to get to that question because we do have a question about that. So we talked about the gateways of your ears, and that was really the first question. Where are the gateways and why are they, I should protect them? And she just named it. She just said it. She said the reason why we named the gateways and the reason why you should protect them. It is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, I'm keep saying gentlemen. Ladies, that you understand it is important. Anything else, it is important. It's just like your health. You want to live long, but if you want to live long, you got to do what you need to do to preserve your body. So if the doctor say you got diabetes and you can't eat this, that, and other because you want to live long, you need to do what the doctor tell you to do. I've been experiencing things in my body, and I realized I got to be more proactive, especially my husband was saying, baby, you know, if you know you got these elements and these are the things that you're going to be you have to deal with, then you need to be proactive when before certain things happen, so when you won't have a lot of downtime. And I have to be honest with you, that's something I got to practice. That is something I definitely got to practice. Now I understand these are some of the elements, issues that I have in my body. So now I need to be proactive. I can't wait till it happens. Like, oh, Lord Jesus. No, you could have been proactive on that. So even myself, I'm learning a little bit more. And the only thing we're saying, ladies, is to be more proactive. Don't wait. God has given us warnings. He's given us his word. He's showing us what we should and should not do, what we should be entertaining with, what we should not be entertaining with. And we just want you to be proactive. The discussion today is to give you a provoked thought, to provoke some thinking. Think about your life. Don't just think about today. And that's one of the main problems I see with young people. You guys think about just right now. You don't think about your future. You see what I'm saying? And so with that being said, Jadea, I want you to go into, we're going to go into our discussion questions. I'm saved, but I don't always listen to gospel music. Is that bad? Why and why not?
That is bad. I feel like it's bad. In James 1 and 8 says, it talks about a double-minded man. And also Revelation 3:15 and 16 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would rather thou be cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. God, he wants you to be either hot for him or cold for him. He don't want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't. And it also says, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the other and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon, I looked up the meaning of that because I didn't understand it, and it means lust, wanting riches, wanting material wealth. God, he says, you can't love me and then walk with the devil. You got to choose which one you want to serve. So you can't say, I'm saved and I'm a Christian, I don't always listen to gospel music, then you're being lukewarm. And when God says he'll spew you out his mouth, that means he vomit you out your mouth. And this question, it was funny to me because Pastor Larry Wednesday, we talked about this. So I found it ironic But God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He either wants us to be hot for him or cold for him. There's no in between. There's no gray area. It's just black and white.
You're absolutely right. And I think that because, again, because a lot of Christians has really, they come to church, they worship, they feel like they're worshiping and they're worshiping. But then when they private life, they separate it. Well, my life is not separate. I'm a Christian 24/7 a day. I'm not a Christian just when I'm at church. I'm not just, I don't preach a certain way and then live a certain things. And I think for so many years that a lot of times we, it's like the children of Israel. The children of Israel, God didn't want them to have a king. He was their king. He was their instructor. He was it. But when the children of Israel started looking at all the other nations, how they had kings to rule over them and send them on their way or whatever the situation was, they said, we want a king. We want a king too. We want a king too. And when God said, no, you don't want a king, and he told a prophet this, he said, give them what they want, but let them know the consequences of me not ruling over their life directly. And so, and I think God, and we got punished, the children of Israel got punished because they wanted what everybody else wanted. And I think that's what one of the problems that the Christian community is going through. We want what everybody else wants. Yeah, we want God, but we want what the luxury of the world too. We want God, but we want the pleasures of the world. We want God, and we want to do what we want to do. We want God, and we want to be free, and we don't want to, and we don't want nobody, and we want to go to churches that's going to compliment what I believe, what I feel, not going to convict me, and we definitely don't want to, and we use this word, I don't want to be judged. I'm not going to a judging church. I don't want to go to a church that's going to judge me because they just too hypocritical. And it's not so we're hypocritical at all. It is we understand what the Bible is saying, because if we continue going to where the rate we're going, oh, my God, churches are beginning more entertainment versus, developing discipleship. And the developing men and women of God that really truly living for God. So now we got artists now, they're crossing over. They say, well, this is just my work, this is my life. But then they're role models for young people, and so they're given this view that this is how it's supposed to be. So when, as pastors, youth pastors, leaders try to minister to young people and say, hey, they're looking at these artists and say, but they're doing it and they're getting money. Okay, what that mean? So you're absolutely right. I'm saved, but I always don't listen to gospel music. Is it bad? Why and why not? It is bad. It is bad to do that because it could be very simple. You may say, well, it's not, I don't see that. Well, it's getting into your spirit. And a lot of these music that are young people are listening to, I don't even know all the artists. My husband, he's a little bit more educated in this portion about the artists when it comes to the name of, I know some of the music, but I don't know the name of these artists. But the things that they're saying in their music, it's just outright awful. You know, all just straight out disrespectful, and it promotes so much sex, lust, pride, and violence. And we're saying we want to reduce, we want to decrease the violence in our community. But this music that our children are listening to, it literally promotes the violence that we see. So that it's like it contradicts itself. The next discussion question we have, Jadea, is most TV shows today include sex, and we kind of talked about this a little bit. Sex, drugs, and cussing. How can I protect my gateways when that is the only thing that's offered on TV?
When I feel like you shouldn't watch TV anyways, and that I feel like that's the problem with most Christians these days, is they watch TV more than they read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They make TV their God. I know people think it's crazy I say don't watch TV, but it's not helping you do things of God, so what's the point in even entertaining it? And
right.
Then I think
right.
of the name. It's television programming. What is it programming you to? It's not nothing of God, so it's obviously programming you to things of the devil.
Did you say programming, sweetie? Oh, wow.
Yes, ma'am.
That's too funny. You're a funny young lady. Oh, my goodness. Programming. What is the programming you? Okay, I had to write that one down. Okay, baby. Okay, now, to reach those young people that do watch television, me and my husband, we barely watch television throughout the day, but we do watch television. There's shows there. There's things out there you can watch that does not promote violence and sex and all this kind of stuff. There are things that you can watch, but it's not going to be the things that you want to watch. Like, I like watching the Food Network. I like to watch the Food
Me
Network.
Too.
I love to see them. Girl, yes! I've been learning a lot of ideas. And I love to watch the House. And I know this is so boring for y'all people. I understand. But she's right. There's some of the things, even I don't watch TBN like I used to, because now so many things are being promoted through that. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I have an auntie. I got to say this to you. I have an auntie. She's passed. God bless her. She has passed now. And I used to think she was kind of cuckoo for Cuckoo Puff, because she, like, did not watch TV at all. I mean, for years, she would not watch TV. I mean, it was, like, 20 years. She have not watched television. And I'm like, auntie is really out of this world. But when I listened to her ministry, now when I got older in God, I listened a lot of stuff, the revelations that she was able to get. I can understand why she didn't watch TV, and then she was saying how much TV does. Now, I do believe a good preacher should know what's going on in the world. They should have the Bible in one hand and a newspaper or the news in another. I do believe that, because for us to understand that the world is, the Bible is fulfilling itself, we need to know what's going on. So we can minister effectively and make our message relevant to the people. So I do believe there's some things that we do need to be paying attention to. However, I understand a lot of, and there's some shows that I like. I used to watch 227. That was one of my favorite shows. I can talk like the chick and everything. But I started looking at it, baby really promotes sex. She really is. She's so sexy. And it's funny. And that's how we get into stuff. It is, you know, I'm like, wow, really? You know, once I got into the Tune of God, and I'm not telling you, teenagers, listen to me, I'm not telling you not to watch television. What I'm saying is that just be mindful what you're watching, what it is promoting. What is what you're watching? Is it helping you? Is it helping you get where you need to go in God? Is it promoting you to be more violent? Is it promoting you to have more sexual tendencies? Because as young people, let's be real, as you're growing up, there is some things going to happen with your body. Your body is going to talk to you. But if you're watching this stuff, it's going to talk to you even more. Well, you should be calming down, Mary. Mary going to be wanting to talk a little bit more. If you get my drift. So you got to understand this. You got to know you. You got to know you. And I'm not saying that there's times, like me and my husband, we went to the movies one time, and I promise you, oh, my God, this movie. It was I liked some of the message within the movie, but I was like, it is so much cussing in there. I just don't understand how somebody can just sit there the whole time and just cuss. I mean, why do you have to use so much cuss words? I just don't understand. I didn't think it was really called for. But with these people, they you know, just the ratings they get. They get more ratings. I know some people, they laugh. I mean, they literally have a good old time. If it's no cussing, it's not funny. I'm like, really? Really? Really, really? You mean to tell me this show is not funny because no cussing in it? Because they have got immune to the cussing, and now their ears have got more of a relationship with cuss words and stuff like that. So I agree with what you're saying, but I do think that I do agree that television has really truly programmed a lot of us, and I truly believe that we can tank down some of this TV watching. Like, you know, literally, I promise you, our TV is not on. It be on blank, most of the blank time. And then a lot of times I do get the urge. I say, I'll come and watch a little show or whatever, and then I watch the TV. I like watching Word Network sometimes, but they don't kind of got little out left field too in some areas. And so I just watch it. I don't judge. I say, okay, that's not something I want to entertain myself with. Or I used to, one of my shows I used to watch all the time was Lifetime. I used to love me some Lifetime. But my mind, because of who I am and what I do, I don't consume myself with all that anymore, because I really want, when God speaks, it comes from a pure heart. When God speaks, I don't want my mind, because there's a lot of work. I don't barely have a lot of time now. So if I sit down and watch TV all day, it's going to consume my time. So young people and parents, I know you're saying, well, I've been doing this for all these years. You train your children. You go to them and say, listen, I want to do some things different. I'm not saying you take it all at once. That's another thing that a lot of parents do. You know, once they hear something, they come like macho man, and then a child becomes bitter versus, you know, trying to be, you know, really understand that there's a change in my household is taking place, and you just want to go cold turkey on stuff. You can't do that. They didn't get like that overnight. They got like that with your help. So you're not going to be able to come in there and cold turkey them and think that's going to kill that in them. That's not going to happen. So you sit down and minister to them and say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to start drawing back on stuff. We're going to have to really, truly come back on a lot of things that we're watching, what we're listening to. And then there's a point, as God leads, then you go cold turkey. But at the same time, you should gradually do this. Don't just go in the room and go, oh, we ain't watching this no more. Okay, baby, you've been letting me watch this for 14 years, and all of a sudden, now I can't watch it. You're not going to win. The Bible says a man that wins souls is wise. And I'm saying this because I got a lot of parents on the line, too. And I got questions just filling my inbox. Oh, my God. So I got a lot of parents that's listening. So I need you to understand me. We are saying that you need to monitor what your children listen to and what they watch. Yes, we are saying that. We are saying that there are some things that they should not be allowed to do. We are saying that. However, if you've been allowing them to act and carry themselves a certain way for this many years and this time, you need to pray and ask God for wisdom how to get them to where they need to be. The first thing, are you there first? Because if you're entertaining yourself with all this stuff, then you're not going to be able to tell your kids not to do something what you're still doing. So that's another thing. Let's get to our last discussion question because we've got 9 minutes. Okay, what are some things that I can do to protect my gateways and still have fun as a teenager kid, Christian?
Me personally, I love bowling. And I know the Potter's House, they have their own bowling alley called King's Pin Bowling. And since it's run by a Christian church, you don't never have to worry about listening. Because, you know, some bowling alleys have worldly music playing. There is strictly gospel music. So you can go there, have a good time. And also for people who like to skate, Funworks in Orange Park, they have Christian night Thursday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And they play strictly Christian music, too. You can also go swimming, go-karts, even theme parks. It just depends. But if you consider just drinking, smoking, and partying fun, then I can't really tell you how to have fun as a teenager and protect your gateways with that.
Right, absolutely. And you said the magic word. You know, there is when I hear people say it's just so boring, and I kill them when they say Jacksonville is boring. I don't see that, and I don't travel. I don't travel a lot of places, and I guess I'm a boring person per se. I don't see what they see. I want to move from Jacksonville. I want to go where it's lit up. I mean, lit up what? You know, 24 hours. I used to, when I was a drug dealer, I used to go to Miami, and baby, Miami is a busy, busy, busy city. I mean, they don't sleep. They like New York. They don't sleep. Atlanta like that too a little bit. But Miami is like a lit up place. You can get there 3 o'clock in the morning and you're going to find people going to work, walking the streets and stuff like that. But my point is that you got to see what your life, when you're talking about you looking for fun, just like you said, you know, what attracts you? Why do certain things attract you? Why you want to go to, I mean, and I'm not talking about people, I'm just talking about Christians. I was looking at Facebook, and I just thought it was just so funny that Christians was posting that they was at Fantasia's concert. Huh? Really? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, they was like, oh, and then I guess she went to church while she was there. I think she sung a Christian song. She said, I don't care what you do, baby. God's going to come out of that. Really? But so you sang secular stuff. You sing 10 secular songs. And then one song, we go to church on that, and then now the Spirit of God is in the place. Really? I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not judging. That's just something I observe. And I know, don't kill me, y'all, because some of y'all may have been on, y'all may was the one that went to Fantasia concert. But it's just funny to me. I'm like, really? We're Christians, and we're going to secular people, and we wonder why they're big and they're got all this money, because we make them big. We make them rich, because not only the world support them, the church support them too. And another thing, I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying what I'm saying. What's the comedian name that just was
Kevin
here?
Kevin Hart.
Yes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got so many Christians actually literally bought tickets to go hear somebody that cussed through the whole show. I really don't understand. I'm too deep. That's what it is. I know what it is. I'm just too deep. I'm just too deep. We too deep today.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Yeah, we too deep. I'm like, okay, but if there's going to be a separation, is that, you know, I'm not better than to them. I'm better off because I got Jesus, and I need to be an example of what Christians should and should not be doing. If I'm going to do the same thing that I was doing when I'm in the world, why did I get saved? If the Bible said, come out from among you and be separated, and he said, don't even have a relationship, don't have a continued relationship with the unbelievers, why I'm doing things the unbelievers are doing. I don't understand. I know we got this new wave now. We got this new wave there, and this is a scary thing because it's confusing so many people. Well, God is doing a new thing. And, you know, I could put my preacher voice on and make that sound really, really good. You know, God is doing a new thing, and all these people that's judging and looking at the body of Christ, and we need to cross over. I got to go to the clubs and win them. I got to go. Mm-hmm. My music got to reach the world. And don't realize we're confusing more people because you look like the world, you sound like the world, you don't sound like the Spirit of God. And because you can get a little shout in every now and then, does not mean that's God.
The Bible also says that God hasn't changed. So I don't understand what new way or new God they're talking about, but that's not the God from the Bible, the God that we serve.
Yes. Audience, we got 4 minutes, and I ain't even talked to about the third gateway. And let me say this real quick, JDL. I'm sorry. The third gateway is your mouth. I know we don't normally look at this as a third gateway, but it is. What you say, and what you say to others is what you quote is true. Is it what you quote is true? Just like all the other gateways, you have to protect. You need to protect what you say coming out your mouth. What you say, it set the atmosphere, and it can manifest into something happening. So when you're speaking things out in the atmosphere, and you're only speaking what's already in you. So if you're a judgment person, it's because you're a judgment person on the inside. If you got lust coming out, if lust is in you, lust's going to come out your mouth. If you got all this cussing in you, cussing is going to come out your mouth. So just as much you want to protect your eyes, your ears, you need to protect your mouth. You need to protect what comes out of your mouth. Is this going to edify the body of Christ? Is this going to build the body of Christ? Now, there's times that you have to challenge people. I'm a challenger. I already know I'm a challenger. I'm a challenger. So, yes, I'm going to provoke you. I'm going to challenge you what you're thinking, because where do you get that thinking from? Show me in the Bible. Show me what, based on what the Word of God says, and don't give me no compromise. Don't give me your theology. I need to know what the Bible says, and, you know, and because the Bible is true. At the end of the day, the Bible said, with everything else, the only thing going to stand is the Word of God. And I know you, that sounds so deep for y'all young people, and it's because we are consumed with the things of this world, and we're consumed with our friends, what our friends think, what our friends feel, and what other, you know, there's churches, I thank God for them, they are reaching young people, and they're reaching young people at the thousand, they're reaching young people at the hundreds. But what I do see, I say, wow, those young people are just so worldly. Some of these young people, you know, they got a tendency of homosexuality, but then we allow our young people to do things that just promotes it even the more. They're wearing the tight skinny, the pants halfway down. They're getting tattooed. Well, I got Jesus. That don't mean nothing because it's Jesus on your arm. That still don't mean anything. Just because you got it engraved, Jesus does not make it right. It's just like a rap song. If the rap beat, if the tune, the beat was secular, and just because you change out to the, that don't mean anything. When I talk about, okay, we have 90 seconds. My goodness, God bless you, Jesus. Jadea, you did an awesome job, sweetie. We're going to have to do a part two. You will be back. You will be back. And I want to say this to my audience. We only got 60 seconds at the time. I hope and pray we did not get done. I normally do a 90 show, but I didn't think it was going to go this long. But my point is saying this, please, young people, parents, be in tune. Find out what your young people are listening to. Be more proactive with your young people. Young people, be more proactive with your life. You get one life, and how you treat it, what you allow to come in and go out, is up to you. It is up to you. You can't guard yourself. When you go into hair salons, when you go into stores, they're going to play. But if you build yourself up in your private time, you can be able to withstand the things that you have to deal with in the school system, in the stores and stuff like that. Be more proactive. Protect your gateways, because what your next move is on you. We're going to leave the show as always. We here every Monday at 6:30. And this Monday, every fourth Monday, we have Teen Young Girls Mondays, and we're going to have a special guest. Jadea will be back with me on the air. Sometimes she's going to be running it by herself, so look for her a little bit more often. I'm going to leave the show now. I pray that everything that we said today help you in some kind of way, and please stay tuned for the commercials going to lead us out. I thank God for you. Thank God for you parents for allowing your teenagers to come in and listen in, chime in, and you too. The questions that's on the board, the question that's in my inbox, you will get them. I will send some answers to you as the show ends. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you, Jadea. You've been an awesome help, and we'll talk to you guys later. Stay tuned for the commercial.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire magazine. Inspire magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you. You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.